Hello, Father Stalzer. I was in the library, and I just felt that it was time to begin, I guess, reflecting on some of the things that I had gone through. I hope because I wasn't there this summer, and I guess because I haven't been there in a while, that a lot of you don't think that I've forgotten any of the things that have happened out in South Dakota. I often and always think about the Indian people. I often pray for them because, if anything, that was one of the things I learned in my vision. There are lots of things that go through my mind, lots of things that I know I have to learn. I find sometimes that growing is a painful thing, it's a happy thing at times. But I've been trying to spend my time as wholesomely as possible, even though at times in my life so far I found it difficult. I miss the Indian people. I miss the Dakotas. I miss listening to the teachings of the medicine men because they've taught me a great deal. At least they've put something in my life that I know can't ever be taken away from me. And I know that I can live, and if I die young or if I grow old and die, there's something good that's been written in my life. I thank you for that because you were the one that initiated me into these things, and it was with your help that I learned. My spirit guides have been with me, and in their kindness they have shown me many things. It's not easy to understand their teachings, and it's almost like everything that we do in life, it requires a great deal of tremendous concentration and effort, until hopefully we develop something to the point where it becomes effortless and where we become saints or sages or holy men with the least amount of action. I have many things to learn, and at the same time, I thank God because also in New York there are many people in their kindness that help me. There are instructors here that I take music lessons from that some of the things they say would surprise many people. There are so many things around me, dear God, and I thank Him for it, and that He gives them to me, and that He helps me with all these things. The other day, I went to a movie, and it was a strange movie. It was called Looking for Mr. Goodbar, and it was about the life of some girl who really messes up her, every part of her life. And while I was sitting there, it got me so disgusted and my stomach turned and I felt so much sadness. And suddenly I felt a warmth in my back and a kindness that I had remembered once before. And when I turned around, it was that same spirit that I saw upon the hill. And he was with me and he was by my side and he told me, "Don't look at these things. Spend your time elsewhere. Sit outside. Learn. Put your mind to good things and you'll understand better things from it." And I believed this and I left and I felt good and I felt holy for what I had done. Today, I try to do many things, you know. There's schoolwork and things that I have to contend with to try and, I guess, help myself accomplish certain goals. And it's good though. I've prayed with your pipe and I've learned many things. But what I'm trying to say, though, is that today was another strange feeling, but it's a good feeling, and it's a warm feeling. I felt in my heart that I wanted to sit, to be alone, to pray, and to think about many of the things that I had done. And something of what I call the Indian spirit rised in me, and I saw that I needed to do something. And I felt that perhaps it was time to sit down and reflect upon what had gone up on, and what had happened to me upon the hill. And I figured that if I'm to do this, maybe the time is ripe as well. Even if you use this or if you don't, whichever way, it doesn't make a difference. I just wanted you to hear it and I wanted you to have it. And if anything comes of it, fine. But if it doesn't, that makes no difference. Because you're a friend and I wish you to have this tape anyway. But I felt it was time to sit back and try and be quiet. And I sit alone in a room in darkness. And I try to reflect back upon the hill and the things that happened to it. I wish I had more to say to you. It's strange, and in a way I do. Please always say hello to Father Haas. Say hello to Max. Give everyone my love, and you, Father Eagle Sayer, and please, I hope everything is fine with you. I thank you for that pipe. I was hoping, and I missed one very dearly. Since I walked off that hill, I gave mine to Arthur. It felt very lonely in a way, because it was something that I knew that was holy and pure, and it's good to have in my possession. I feel strong when I smell the cedar once again, when I hold the pipe and place the tobacco in it, when I stand where I do, and when I hold it to all the directions. I grow by that, and I want you to know that the only reason I haven't been around is because I'm trying to accomplish certain things here. I am coming to the end of my master's this semester, and I would like to continue for the doctorate, but the thing is, money is the only thing that stops me, and I'm not sure if I'll continue because of that. I'm trying my best. It's hard, it really is, but I'm really trying my best to study now and to do the things that I have to, because I feel a certain responsibility to the Indian people. And I've made my studies mainly Indian, even though that my department is the history of religions. I'm trying to do everything I can to study Indian studies. I'm taking some anthropology courses, and I think the teacher is somewhat sensitive. And I'm taking the religion courses, and in a way, it's funny, I'm making up tutorials and everything just to so that I can study the Indian people, because I feel a certain affinity for them, and at the same time, a certain responsibility. Where I work part-time, this boss woman of mine went out to Wyoming. And she came back to me and she said to me, "Why do you study the Indians? Why these dead people?" she said. She said, "I was out there and they took us through a reservation, and it was a Blackfeet reservation. And she said that these Blackfeet Indians were drunk and that they were dirty. And that it looked like they didn't care about themselves. And that made me feel really hurt. Hurt, but at the same time I grew by it, because I felt what she had said was good for me to hear. It reminded me of my Indian brothers, and it reminded me of people like Arthur. And it reminded me of sort of a whole reservoir of knowledge that lies in the Indian heart, and how these poor people have been crushed, and how they've allowed themselves to hide this goodness in them, and to let the horror of what's happened to them come out. And I feel that I would have to study more and more and more, as much as I can, so that when I teach, these people learn what it really means to be Indian, what it really means to have an Indian soul, an Indian mind, an Indian psyche, what it really means to have an Indian spirit. And I realize that for those people themselves as well, I must grow strong, I must understand the Indian ways. So that someday I could tell them, no, maybe you can't be warriors again in the sense of running around with bows and arrows and killing buffaloes. But you can be warriors again in the mind. The Indians have a tremendous psyche, and I remember even in reading the Jesuit Relations how some of the converted Indians were told how if you're Christian, you're to be happy and that many good things are going to come your way. And it's really something when I read in those Jesuit Relations how some of them were caught, tortured. All sorts of torture rituals were done to them by the Iroquois, and yet a lot of them smiled and laughed and were filled with so much peace. And the fathers would talk about how some of their captives, you know, would try and torture them and hurt them and mutilate them. Yet they said that you just couldn't believe how these people were going through such intense pain, being burned alive, and yet still there was smiling, laughter, there was peace in their eyes. And even though it was gruesome and horrible to hear about it, at the same time, it said something about the Indian mind. Something to me, how through centuries you still find people like Arthur and others fighting to keep their tradition alive, and how they believe, and how their mind and their warrior spirit fights for what they believe in, and how they still stand strong. To me, I think that they're only drunk, or that they only go through pain and difficulties because in their minds they're too damn strong to give up anything that they believe in. And if it means going through the pain and hurting themselves, they'll do that, and they'll confront with themselves in that manner because they don't want to give up something that's deep within them. And I respect them, and I love them for that. And I'm trying to learn their ways because I want other people to know that. I want the white man to learn because he has much to learn from the Indian about his ways, his religion, his beliefs, his hope, his heart, and there's much to be understood. I felt these things in the very beginning. Something in me, I guess, rose, and I'm not exactly sure what it was, and yet at the same time, I am. From when I was young, I always disciplined myself. I've always tried, I guess, to be something of a warrior in my own heart. And I know that the things that occurred in my life are not accidents. I've always gone down on my knees, and I've always prayed to God, and I've always asked Him, teach me, Lord, guide me. Help me to understand what I don't understand. Help me to see things that I know others cannot see. People say many things, and yet many others say that they're not true. But I know that there's an unseeable and ununderstandable. I know that the things the Buddha had spoken about are true, and that Christ said were true. And I want to learn. And I meditated and meditated many hours every day, and I disciplined myself very strongly. And while I did this, God showed me many things. And many good people came across my way and told me things about the Spirit. And it's such a strange experience to sit back and to see these things, because then you really understand how much God is in our lives. Like a woman said to me just not too long ago, she said, God is closer to you than you are to yourself, and you have to understand that. And I think I'm beginning to. And I realized also that when I went to school and I studied, it was wild, because when Tom Berry taught the American Indian course, that touched home. There was something with the Indians that hit me that no other peoples ever did. And I felt such a brotherhood for the Indians just from reading books that I knew that someday I would meet them and someday that I would learn from them. And thanks to cousins and thanks to Peter, I had met you, and through you I met many of the medicine men. When I returned to the reservation that summer and you weren't there, I knew that I had a lot of things to do and a lot of things to accomplish, and I knew that God in His kindness was sending me. In fact, that summer, just like last summer, I had no idea I was going to make it. I felt that I had many things to do, but almost like with that movie, I couldn't rest in peace. Something boggled me, my dreams bothered me, everything bugged me and told me, you must leave, you must go, for there is much for you to understand out in South Dakota. So I went out, I met Bill, and I met Arthur, and I remembered Lame Deer. And I remember my experiences with so many people, Robert Steed, and a lot of others. And I listened carefully, and I think the thing that I loved about Arthur more than anything was his humbleness. He was quiet, but he looked with a good heart. And you knew that his soul was strong and that he tried to understand. And I saw something in Arthur that I saw in myself, whereas even when I meet new people, I'm quiet and still and careful. And I try to understand a person before I actually open up my heart completely to that individual, because I want to see if they really want to learn. And I felt that very same thing in Arthur. So that summer I returned, and it was Arthur's house more or less in my heart that I knew I would head for. When I went to Arthur's house, it was good. Because when I arrived, Arthur wasn't there, but there were two black eagles flying overhead. And I remember little Leonard came up to me and he said, who are you? And I said, I'm Mike. And he said, is Arthur there? And he said, no, he isn't. And he saw me looking up to the sky, and he looked up, and they were hovering over us, and he looked at me as well, and he said, Wambali Sapa, two black eagles. And I had never seen an eagle before in its splendor, with its wings spread out and with its heart squeaking and crying. And for me, that was a sign that Arthur was the one, and I knew that I would return. So when I did return, Arthur was there. And he didn't remember me at first, but then he remembered me from the meeting in the spring when he had told me that if you wish to come out to my house, please be welcome, and I'll be there in the summer, and I did return. And it was that evening he said to me, come. And he said, you may come to the Sweat Lodge tonight. So I went back to Father Haas's, and thanks to the kindness of Max and him, they told me that I could stay there, and I didn't have to worry about a place to stay. And I returned to Arthur's that night. And that was a good experience because there was another fellow there named Leonard. And he was strange. He was a singer for the medicine man. And he knew many medicine men's songs, and he would always be around Arthur's ceremonies. But right away there was, I guess, an understood antagonism towards a white person being around. And he approached me and he said, you're going to come to the Sweat Lodge? And I said, yes, I am. And he said to me, why? I said, because I want to learn and I want to grow. And he said to me, no white man can ever receive a vision. He said, no white man can learn because Wakantanka knows our people and loves only our people. And I told him that that wasn't true. And I said that he shouldn't hate everyone or that he shouldn't hate someone because they're different. Because a person may want to learn, and Wakantanka will open his heart to everyone who wants to learn. And he remained silent. I prepared to go into the Sweat Lodge that night, and I saw Arthur looking at me, and I did not exactly understand what was on his mind. But I hadn't gone through a Sweat Lodge since the spring, and I figured since I had survived Bill Schweigman's, I could easily survive Arthur's. But when Arthur put me in that Sweat Lodge, he must have had called for 3 buckets of water. He put in many rocks, and the Sweat Lodge was very, very hot. And he kept it going and going, and many of the men were coughing and wheezing and finding it difficult. And for me, myself, I was sweating, and it was becoming extremely difficult for me to stay there. But as Bill, I wanted to show Arthur my sincerity. And even if I was to croak in there, or to suffer, or to sweat, or to burn, it made no difference. I was going to undergo the pain because I wanted to be there, because I wanted Arthur to know that I can hold my heart out to him, and I could show him through my endurance that I wanted to learn. Arthur let the ceremony go on for quite some time, and when it had finished and the men came out, many of the men were weak. And I myself tried to stand up, and I fell on my face. But Arthur told me something good in that Sweat Lodge. He said, you have come a long way to learn. And the spirits know that you have come here with reason and you may stay with me. And we will learn many things together. During the summer then, I decided to stay with Arthur. And I met John there, his brother, and others. And I knew that many of the people were careful towards me and they didn't know how to take me. But the children were good, and they were warm. And I figured the way to touch their hearts is to stay with the children, to teach them things, to help them understand things. And I stayed with the children, and I brought many of my books with me, and I read to them about their warriors. And the women liked me, and they saw what I did was good. And they wanted me around, and they always asked for me to come back. And I always found great joy in that. I went through the ceremonies more and more with Arthur. I worked with John, and I started going in the fields, and we cut lumber, and we pulled many twigs out, we cut big logs and stuff to try and get some winter wood together. And poor John, I realized that many people had come to Arthur to be healed, to have sweat lodges, and John was a good brother because he had prepared many of the things for Arthur. But the poor man was just about there every single day, just about had enough wood for that day and had to go searching. So finally I worked with him the whole summer, and he had many tree roots built up, and we picked them up and we put them by the Sweat Lodge. We had many twigs and a lot of firewood. In fact, eventually, within time, we had enough firewood for all the hambalaches, all the sweat lodges, all the cooking to be done for the end of the summer. And even further, he had some firewood for the winter, and I was happy. By the end of this time, I felt that the people had grown to really love me, and definitely the children stayed with me. This Danny stayed with me, Leonard stayed with me, and many of the children that were upon Arthur's land stayed with me. And this was when I felt that perhaps it's time now, because Arthur knows my love, and because he's told me many things, that it's time to ask him if I may go through the vision quest. John went to Arthur, and he told him that I wished to speak to him. And I loaded the pipe, I prayed, and I walked up to Arthur, and Arthur accepted the pipe. And I told Arthur that I had sacrificed all my life and that I wished to learn, and that I felt that it was time I went up on the hill, for I felt that Wakantanka wanted me to see these things. Arthur knew this, because even before I had approached him, he asked me to come up to a hill whilst someone was going through a hambalacha. And he said to me, "I want you to come." He said, "I want you to see what it's like, and I want you to see how the altar's set up." He says, "Because I know that you're here for a certain reason, and I want you to see these things." And I, many times after that, I went up, and I saw these things happening. Arthur accepted, and he asked me how many days. And I remember how you had told me, ask only for one, maybe 2 days. And I looked at Arthur, and I said to Arthur, "Arthur, I've sacrificed much all my life. I've run, I've disciplined myself in certain arts, and I've done many things to accept pain and to be willing to sacrifice because I know that this day is coming. In all sincerity, if I was to sacrifice only one day, I know that it would not be enough, or even two, I know. And being that I do not know you well, or that being that you may be afraid, I will ask for 3. And please, I hope that you give me 3. And he says to me, "You are good." He says, "Because you are with the children and you do not drink, you do not smoke." And Arthur told me the story of how he became a medicine man. And he said to me, "You touched my heart." Because there was a time, he said, when I was a wild man, and when I drank, and when I smoked, and when I did many things. And when a medicine man came up to me and he said to me, "Your life is such that you're meant to be a holy person." And I didn't understand them, but he told me, "If you go up on that hambalacha, you will learn." And Arthur told me the story of how he went up on the hill and what he encountered and how he became a holy man. And he said, "I want you to have this same chance." And so it went, and so I prepared many of the things that had to be prepared, and you know them well. I tried at first to get some used cloths and different things, and it was amazing because they looked new, but Arthur touched them and he said to me, "No." He says, "It's important for the spirits wish to see only you yourself within these articles, and you must never use anything used. Even if it's washed, all these things must be new." And I had to get all these articles new. And the women were good because they helped me, and they picked many of these things for me, and they got the things that I needed for the hill. It were the Indians that put me up there. The woman provided the cloth. The men helped me gather up many of the other things that I needed. And also the cedar trees were given to me by the Indians. A lot of the things that I needed, if it weren't for their help, and even Max and his kindness got me a bucket, and he got me the pitcher and all the other things that I needed. Max gave me the quilt that I needed to go up on that hill, and he helped me in his kindness. I have all these things to thank the Indian people for, and they've been kind and they've helped me a great deal. I believe that it was their kindness and their help that helped me see these things that I saw and learn the things that I had learned. "I wish to grow and I wish to understand," is what I said to Arthur. He said to me, "What is it that you want? What is it that you want when you go up the hill?" And I said to Arthur, "I don't want a house. I don't want this. I don't want a request for anything. Only one thing. I pray that God will always be with me. And I pray that the powers of the 4 directions will always guide me and help me in my life." I didn't realize until I had asked that, or maybe after, when I came down from the hill, how much I had asked for. And it was a great deal. And what I was given was a great deal. So finally, when I prepared all these things, this was something strange that happened to me. I felt I had John's love and everybody's love. But when Arthur told the people that I was going on the hill, the women were good and they were glad. And many of the Indians that were close to me were happy and they shook my hands and they were kind and I saw such love in their hearts. But there was a point where I met a few and they said to me, "Why are you going up on the hill? You're a white man, you can't learn the Indians' ways," and they were difficult with me. And by then I had learned Lakota well enough to understand it by ear. And I heard some of the men speaking to each other and saying, "Nothing will happen, he won't see anything." And some of them even laughed, and that hurt me dearly. And I went up to Arthur and I said to Arthur, "I want to learn, Arthur, but most of all is I want these people to know how much I want to learn." And I said to Arthur, "Can I go up 4 days? Because I had not seen anyone go up in 4 days, and I know that only the warriors of old and many strong men have endured 4 days with great difficulty. But I felt I could do it." But Arthur was afraid, and he said, "No, you must go up for only 3. And I had always listened to Arthur and done what he did, but there was something in my heart that I felt that I wanted to take myself to the ultimate test. When the day had arrived and all the things were prepared, Arthur said, "Take a rest, get yourself ready, and you'll go up tomorrow night." And I said, "All right, I will wait." And I was glad for one reason, because for me this was a sign that I would sacrifice for 4 days. And Arthur didn't know it, but I didn't touch any water, anything to drink that whole day. Nor did I eat any food. That night had passed and the next day came, and the women were watching me, and it was funny. They understood. They saw me and they said to me, "You're going up when the sun goes down. You must eat, because 3 days is a long time. And we don't want you to die up there, and it's very difficult." And I thanked them for their concern, but still I did not eat or drink. And they watched me, and they were worried. So I left, and I put myself near the hill, and I prayed during the day. I touched no food, no water, and I said to God, "Be my witness, Lord. And even though I be not in that sacred square, guide me, and let this be the first day of my fast. I go not against Arthur's wishes, but I do that something that I feel is written in my heart and must be done." And that whole first day I prayed and I asked God to guide me and to teach me. And Arthur was away, but I prayed and I left and I stood and I knelt by that hill that I would be upon. And I felt that the powers were good and that they knew that I was sacrificing and that I had not been eating. That evening Arthur came back and he had a sweat lodge for me. And throughout that sweat lodge I prayed and I sacrificed and endured. Then again, they had the pipe ceremony at night. But I knew that they would have food there. So I said to Arthur, "Please forgive me, but I will stay for the prayers, for when I will leave in the middle." And so I did. I stayed throughout the prayers and the spirits were good. And all the people prayed for me that everything would be fine the following night. And it was funny because that evening I stayed out, and while the people were inside the cabin and while they were eating, a storm had brewed up, and I walked over to the hill and I knelt and I prayed, and the thunders roared and it was raining and it was strong. And during this time I asked God to guide me, and I was afraid, but I was glad that I was afraid, and I was glad to see the thunder clouds come and to see the winds pouring and the rain hovering above me. And I knew that it was good, and I knew that the first day was strong, and I knew that the spirits were with me, and that they were guiding me, and that this was my first test. And I stayed there throughout the night, and I prayed and I waited. Finally, the next day came, and for me it was a full day without food. And Arthur said, "Pray today as well, and do not drink water, for the spirits will know." And I did not touch anything. Finally, evening came and it was time.